Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run, and I'm happy to be here with you guys. I'm always happy to be here on the network. Okay, let's get started. The first thing that I wanted to do was talk about the last show, which was an interview with Frank Lordy from SalvationRevelation.com. First, I'd like to thank Frank for doing the show. It was very informative. We got a lot of information covered, and it's just cutting-edge stuff. I think it's really important that people listen to it that are interested in these kind of things, because I think that there's really some groundbreaking stuff happening with that research, and I encourage people to check it out. And I mention it because I had found out because one of my friends, Mark, from Florida, had let me... At least I think you're in Florida now, Mark. But anyway, he let me know that on the sites, it was only downloading an hour and 10 minutes of it. So if you did hear that interview and you liked it, but you noticed it abruptly ended in the middle, in like mid-sentence, there is another hour and a half of that interview that's very, very important, too. So I think it's up there now. If you go to nowheretorun.podomatic.com, or I think any other place you can find the Nowhere to Run podcasts will have updated it. But also... I know for sure that nowheretorun.info will have it there. That's where I can upload some stuff as well. So you can go to the archives there at nowheretorun.info, and I know that it has the 2.5-hour version of it. Okay. What I want to do on this show is I want to pay tribute to who I believe is one of this world's greatest patriots, and his name is Fritz Springmeier. A lot of you know of the name Fritz Springmeier. He was the author... several books and toured around doing a lot of lectures before he was put in jail. If it wasn't for Fritz Springmeier, we wouldn't know about the Illuminati. We wouldn't know about mind control and its workings, how they created a mind control slave. We wouldn't know about satanic ritual abuse like we know it. Fritz Springmeier exposed this group that we talk about here on this show more boldly and more effectively and more completely than anybody before or after him. He is quite literally, and was quite literally, the most dangerous man in the world to the Illuminati, especially because he was a bold Christian. And, you know, he was like one of these real Christians, like Russ Dizdar, that you want to put in a museum and put a little plaque around him that says, you know, Christian, you know? I mean, he was the real deal. And anybody that's seen his lectures can, you know, see that clearly. But, you know, and he was put in jail for bank robbery, of all things. It was clearly a frame-up job, and he's serving I think until 2013 or something like that in jail. He exposed the Illuminati and the bloodlines of the Illuminati. Basically, it's like reading he exposes so many aspects of all this stuff. It's just frankly amazing. I'm at a loss for words. You know, I've known about Fritz Springmeier for a long time. You know, I know he in effect wrote the book on mind control, and I've read bits and pieces of articles here and there over the years, and knew he knew his stuff. But I got to tell you, going back and really looking into him just blows my mind how far behind. You know, sometimes I think in this show how, you know, we're just so cutting edge and everything, and then here he's just said it so matter of factly. You know, in 97 and. So, and I think that's why he was so dangerous to him, and there were a lot of ways. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play an audio clip from one of Fritz Springmeier's lectures on this show. I don't know how much I'll be able to play of it. In fact, I think I'm doing 2 hours now, at least for a short time on Revere Radio. So I'll probably have a good little space to play some clips of Fritz's here. But I would encourage you, if you take nothing else from this show, I would very much encourage you to go look into Fritz Springmeier and look and Google video. There's other places to obviously he's got a lot of ebooks that people are putting out there on the web. I really want to know what they're doing to him in his jail cell there in Oregon. I there is no updates. Nobody's really heard anything since I think 2003 when he was actually put there in the actual jail. But knowing what he knows and knowing what we know, there's just, you know, it's not a good picture when you think of what they could be doing. If there's a way to write to him, I would encourage you to do it. And as I said, I really think he was the world's most dangerous man for this Illuminati group. So I'm going to play this clip. I know it's a bit of a cop out, but I've got an interesting project going on. I'll tell you about next week, and I got to get right back into that as well. It is my birthday today. It's August 21st is when I'm recording this. August 22nd is when it'll be released. But yeah, it's my birthday today. It was a good day all around, but a busy day. So I got to continue with that. So I'm going to leave you with this lecture from Fritz Springmeier. You can support this show by your prayers, and you can support Revere Radio by donations. You can go to revereradio.net and hit the Make a Donation button. Okay, and you can get all the archives of the show for free at nowheretorun.podomatic.com or anywhere else you can find a Nowhere to Run podcast. Just type it into Google. My name is Chris White, and this is Fritz Springmeier.
These people are great at changing their names and hiding their lineages. I tell you, of all of the people that I have worked with that came out of the Illuminati, I so far haven't found one person whose last name matched the bloodline that they belong to. And if you know how many people are in power that have the last name, it really makes you wonder how prolific have these bloodlines been. You have to understand, if you're a multimillionaire and you can have 50 or 60 concubines out there having babies secretly and hiding all these lineages, you're going to have a lot of offspring. And they have the power to keep track of these genealogies. Again, going back to the Civil War, the Jesse James gang, you've heard of the James brothers. Well, the James were descendants of the Rothschilds. And Jesse James' father was a soldier in the Southern Army. He was the one who fired the first shot that started the Civil War at Fort Sumter. And Jesse James was a 33rd degree Freemason. And his father was in an occult organization that the Illuminati set up to create the Civil War, which was Order of the Golden Circle. See, it's a very small world at the top. I could go on and on. It gets kind of, when you're a researcher like me, your head begins to spin when you see people like Reagan and FDR being related in some way. Now, how is Reagan and FDR related? FDR's FDR's wife, help me out here, Eleanor, right? She was best friends. Her best friend was Ronald Reagan's mother. You wouldn't have known that there were any connection between a Republican president and a Democratic one, would you? I told you I was going to give you the keys to understanding how the satanic conspiracy is operated in secret worldwide. Remember, we've got a hidden front. We have a front religion. Satanism always operates through fronts. So what did they do? They had an esoteric or a common religion for the common people. And they can worship sticks and stones and whatever they want, you know, lizards or whatever they want to worship. And then the priesthood will worship something more intelligent. And then the people in the inner circle worship Satan. If you go all around the world, you'll see this is the key to uncovering satanic worship all around the world for all of history. The five interlocked concepts. All of these concepts are represented in the occult world around the world by snakes. The light bearer, gaining wisdom, the search for wisdom. Sun worship, represented by snakes, the Kundalini force, and the regenerative principle, which is phallic worship, are all represented by snakes, and they're all interchangeable for each other. If you go into certain Masonic rites, when they're talking about sex worship, they also believe that they're worshiping Lucifer when they're doing that. They're interchangeable. And I put this down here too because all around the world, in ancient Babylon, Switzerland, in India, in China, you'll see the caduceus used in the ancient world. That's a symbol for Gnostic dualism. Remember, the snake represents wisdom? Well, in the Illuminati, your good deeds must balance your bad deeds. So some of your greatest philanthropists are your greatest Satanists, because their good deeds must balance their bad deeds. Of course, their good deeds are usually self-fulfilling. One of the things that shocked me when I went in, and I had no axe to grind when I went in to understand how the world's run and who's in this conspiracy, I didn't care what I found, I just wanted to find the truth. I discovered that the Scottish element is just as strong as the Jewish element. It was rather shocking. And so I got this clan map of Scotland, and I highlighted some of the clans that you'll find members in the Illuminati. And here we've got the Mackenzies, who you'll find are very prominent in Freemasonry. And then you come over here and you'll find the Morgans and the Mackeys. Well, you've all heard of Morgan Guarantee Bank. And you come over here to the Sinclairs. The Sinclairs are Merovingians. They're of the top 13 Illuminati bloodline, and they were given a hereditary position to rule Freemasonry. And then you come down here, you got the Murrays and the Sutherlands, and they're very prominent in Freemasonry. And then here's the Mackenzies again. And the McDonalds, you'll find the McDonalds are a prominent Illuminati family. And, you know, like Bilderbergers and people like that. And you come down here, more of the clan, you find the Shaws and the Grants, both Illuminati bloodlines. Douglases, Stuarts. Some of the Stuarts are in the Illuminati and good friends with the Rockefellers. Let's see, you've got the Clan Donald here. You've got the Kennedys down here. That's one of the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines. You've got the Campbells. The Campbells, another Illuminati Masonic thing. Cameron, that's one of the primary early programmers for the Illuminati, was Ewan Cameron. He was Scottish, came over from Scotland. In fact, he would call his patients Lassie. And there's some others there. It's kind of hard to see, but you got the idea. That was a shocking thing for me to find out that the Scottish participation in this is so powerful. And I began to realize why they called it the Scottish Rite. And if you look at the Ku Klux Klan, it's based on Scottish Celtism. And it was created by several different Celtic secret societies, which I don't have time to go into. The Illuminati also helped them out. Now, a lot of people don't believe that there's such a thing as satanic ritual abuse, so I pulled this one out. It's in a museum. In the Illuminati, you're constantly having to make oaths to Satan, and you sign them in your own blood. This is a document, and it's in French, and the oath goes to Satan, to give you my body and soul, my life is holding it from you, having dedicated it forever without any will to repent. And this is one of the most secret buildings that the Illuminati has in the world, and I'm now going on tour to expose it. Happens to be in this little town of Muno, near the Belgium-French border. It's the Mother of Darkness Castle. inside this castle, which has big doors, and you can't see it. This is just the entrance. This is just the gate, and then you go down a road to get to the castle. Okay. At the castle, you'll come to big, big doors, and once you go in it, there's a cathedral inside the castle, and then there's these big slate gray floor, and in the ceiling of the cathedral are 1,000 points of light. Now you know when Clinton says 1,000 points of light or Bush, what he's referring to is this Mother of Darkness castle. Okay. Down in the basement, underneath the first floor, there's a secret floor that's down, which only special people are going to get down into it. Down there, there are rituals held every day. They bring in infants. Infants are pure and innocent. And every day, they sacrifice a number of children, and they drain the blood from these children, and they write the history of how Satan's bringing in his New World Order on parchment down there. For those of you who have studied Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and know something about the Merovingians, you'll find out that one of the secret organizations that they created in the last century was named after this monastery here. The Priory of Zion was set up by the 13th bloodline to protect their bloodline so that they can bring in their Antichrist, because they believe that they're descendants, blood descendants of Christ in the house of David. And one of their primary stomping grounds was this little area here. Just outside of Muno is this castle, Chateau Amorois or something, means the castle of kings, which is kind of misleading because only mothers of darkness, only women go in there. Very seldom do men go into this castle. They do their Kabbalistic path workings there in this castle. They'll fly mothers of darkness from all over the world for high-level rituals there. But anyway, just about 4 miles away, the scale here is very small. So there's only 4 or 5 miles here between. This is Abbe d'Orval right here. And there was a King Dagobert the IV who was killed. He was one of the last great Merovingians, and you'll see a skull in a little bit. And he was killed near here, in this area, hunting. And then the Merovingian dynasty, after he was killed, sort of went into hiding. The Catholic Church for a while tried to subvert it, and Dagobert the I has been eliminated. Am I getting it correct? Is it the third or the first? The fourth. Anyway, what's interesting is if you look in the lineages of the kings, that number is left out in European history. And you know, as you get kings, you go 1, 2, 3, 4. So if the third one or the is missing, something wrong with history. But they tried to erase him out of history. The Catholic Church did, because the Catholic Church at that time was in competition with this Illuminati bloodline. This monastery here is where Peter the Hermit set out, and the Merovingian dynasty created the Crusades because they were the house of David. They weren't real Christians. They were actually a witchcraft, Kabbalistic practicing lineage that wanted to regain possession of Jerusalem and the treasure in Jerusalem. And they sent out Peter the Hermit from this monastery, and he was a dynamic monk who preached all over Europe and got the Crusades started. And if you're a grandmaster in Illuminati or a mother of darkness, you'll do your Kabbalistic path workings of 26 paths of your Kabbalistic tree of life. And Satan's version of the tree of life. You'll go through your 13 paths of immortality, which imitate the disciples. And the final one is the Holy Grail, where you end up committing what's called vampirism, where you end up becoming addicted to blood, because during the rituals, the people that are killed are in a high state of excitement, and there's a substance which is secreted into the blood which makes a person excited, you know, like adrenaline. And when you drink blood of people that have been ritually killed, it gives you a high, and you become addicted to that high, which is why Al Gore carries a suitcase full of vials of blood. But anyway, if you're an Illuminati adept, you'll be trained in these various things. It's very eclectic. As Christians, we think of, you know, this denomination, that denomination, you know, and if I'm Baptist, I wouldn't go to a Presbyterian church or something. In the mystery religions, anything that's esoteric and magic, they learn. They want to know it all. So going back to the elements of the world system, and I told you I was going to show you some of how those elements are controlled, and those elements then in turn control the entire global system. The first real scientific political scientist, so to speak, the father of political science, Machiavelli, who wrote The Prince in circa 1515, and just read a couple of these to give you an idea. And as people who have been to West Point, probably, I'm probably at his time when he was at West Point, they did the same thing. This was required reading for us. Sample of Machiavellian advice to political rulers. Rulers should defend powerful neighbor countries and weaken the stronger neighbor countries. By setting up protectorates and weakening the strong, a successful divide and conquer strategy is achieved. A ruler must not mind incurring the charge of cruelty for the purpose of keeping his subjects united and faithful, for except for a few exceptions, he will be more merciful than those who, for excess of tenderness, allow disorders to arise which injured the whole community. Men have less scruples in offending one who makes himself loved than one who makes himself feared. Love is broken whenever it serves selfish men's purposes, but fear is maintained by a dread of punishment which never fails. Still, a ruler should make himself feared in such a way that if he does not gain love, then he at any rate avoids hatred. So the Satan inspired, I mean, when you read The Prince, it's, I can see nothing but Satan inspiring the work as to how to create political science in order to scientifically control the world. Oop, long stack. And so, here's how they do it. In the United States, here's the political process. And this was in my Be Wise as Serpents book, but I found that it was rather unintelligible unless I took the time to sit down and really explain it. And again, we can only go through this very briefly. But the way it would work is at your high level, and within the Illuminati and within various groups, we've got decisions that are made. Those decisions are transmitted down to the national level. Okay, on the national level, we've got a group called MJ-12, and their Majestic 12. The code that's stamped on their paperwork is MAGIC, M-A-G-I-C. It's got a double meaning there, doesn't it? And this goes back to Plato. Plato, who's a very important person in the occult world, said that countries should be ruled by these wise men. And Sir Francis Bacon, and I love to spend all the time to explain how this all fits together, but I don't have the time. But Sir Francis Bacon, who wrote The New Atlantis, Sir Francis Bacon was very instrumental in this country being settled, and his actual book was called something about the Rosicrucians, but the title got changed to The New Atlantis. He discusses in there about how these wise men are to rule. It's Plato's idea, just rewritten. and then the Illuminati's updated it to what we call the study group or the MJ-12. And MJ-12 originally had three groups of six men. It had six men from the Jason. From the Executive Committee of the Jason Society. It had six men from the Executive Committee of the Jason Group, and then it had men in key positions in the government, such as head of CIA, National Security Council, FBI director, and then it had a head over it. So it had 666 and a head over it. In Reagan's administration, I think it was that they upgraded the group to 40. But this group has gone under a whole long list of code names. I list some of them in my Be Wise as Serpents book, which, by the way, isn't back there. It's out of print. PL-40 is one of the code names of this group. They've tried to look like a leaderless group. They've tried to look like a group that's not even a group, that just suddenly, you know, a group of elite guys happen to meet at the golf club and talk, you know. But this is the wise men. It's the wise men concept that the occult world talks about. But they can't make all the decisions. A group of 12 men or 40 men can't make all the decisions. There's too many decisions. So they pass it down to the level two decision makers, which are the policy planning groups. Policy planning groups include the Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Brookings Institute, the Business Roundtable, the American Enterprise Institute, the Population Council, Resources for the Future, Urban Institute. These people make decisions. Okay, but they can't make all the decisions still. There's still more decisions. So there's intermediate group. They pass some of the decision making on down to the research policy planning groups, and I've just listed a few of those: the RAND Corporation, the Stanford Research Institute, and the Hudson Institute. So let's say the Stanford Research Institute has been given a problem, they formulate an answer, they pass it on to the Council of Foreign Relations. If you look at the way it works, Council of Foreign Relations almost always rubber stamps the decision, but it has to be rubber stamped before the Illuminati act on it. Okay. How does this work? Okay, the decision is made here, and then it's transmitted to the decision makers. Okay, but they want us to ask them for what they want to do. It's a big, long process. They don't just do it. Okay, so what they'll do is the president of the United States will say, or some other leader on some administrative council or something, they'll say, we have a problem. We need to get answers. We're going to create this research project or this research group to research this project. So then this group starts with all kinds of millions of dollars of funding, and they research for 10 years, and they come up with piles of research that researchers even like myself aren't going to wade through with their final conclusion, which, by the way, happens to be what the decision was made years before anyway. So then, the newspapers, which are controlled by them, these are your opinion makers, who intelligence agencies, national news media, and government councils, they'll start broadcasting what this decision was. These people study this problem, and this is the best advice. This is the answer. So, and then they'll even get a few of their people, their lackeys that make it look like the grassroots are in favor of this. So the newspapers are promoting it, a few people in the grassroots are promoting it, and they pass the legislation and it becomes law. And if people don't want to go along with the plan, they always have their covert enforcers. They have all kinds of people in all different kinds of locations to pull the strings that if there's rough edges, they smooth it out. And this is behind the scenes. The Illuminati have their area boards set up all over the country. They set up, they divided the country into 10 area boards, which are approximately 13 state areas per area board. There are four areas of 13, And those areas then are broken up into area boards. Now, what is an area board? In this area, you will have the leaders of occult groups that are part of the, definitely directly part of the Illuminati system. They will be allowed to send representatives to the secret area board. There isn't a fixed number of people. And when they have their area board meetings, they will coordinate their activities of these different occult groups. This is why you looked over in Japan and you saw the Church of Scientology, I believe, that sent recruits over to that radical Japanese group that was doing all of the chemical bombings in the tunnels and everything. See, they swap members back and forth. If they need to shift members to a new group, they do it, you know. This is how they coordinate their activities on the occult area boards. So when they wanted to create federal regions, guess what model they used? They just created the federal regions in the approximate locations that their occult area boards were already operating in. Okay, that was the political side of things, which was the state or the order. And if we go in and look at the financial element in the world system, how is that controlled? This was a page, and they've tried to keep this very secret. This information is not out there in very many places. Wasn't out there, but fortunately we have it. They created fractional reserve banking, the Federal Reserve System, and the stockholders of the Federal Reserve System are listed here in this listing. And if you can see some of the names there, you'll see Morgan, Rockefeller, Pine, Reynolds, Warburg, all Illuminati families there, Hummel. And these people own the stock of the Federal Reserve. When the IRS collects our taxes, the first check that they write out is sent to the Federal Reserve to pay the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation, for the use of their money. And that check is billions of dollars. It's a huge check. So I can't remember now the figure off the top of my head what it is we pay in interest for the privilege to use the Federal Reserve's money. This is just like Federal Express. Federal Express is not part of the government. It's owned by the Rothschilds. Again, this is another thing that I can't go into due to time, but want to show you just the basic concept that the Illuminati families, some of them are your leaders of your crime organizations, and then they network in with all your other organized crime. Remember we talked about health and markets and things like this. This is some parts of the Illuminati control over the world's grains and food. Société Générale, holding company that was set up by the elite. They use a lot of holding companies. One of the ways that they discovered to keep your business coordinated. Let's say you have five sons, you place each one of those sons into a different business, and then each of those businesses are controlled by a holding company. Nobody can even see that these five companies are interconnected because they don't know about the holding company. We've got the management over here, see some of your leading families over here, and then I go into some of the important companies that like Archer Daniel Midland Company, your hide cartel, your grain cartel, and since Iowa Beef, and then you've got your enforcement, your government enforcement groups, like the USDA, which if you're not a company within the cartel, they can use the laws to destroy you. And then the manipulation, like the weather, which is, again, another vast subject. But this is maybe a poor representation of the way they're controlling weather. There's not a whole lot of proof here on a vast subject, but I just grabbed something real quickly. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who happens to be somebody who's one of the controllers of slaves within Monarch Project that we'll talk about later, he talks about how weather manipulation can be employed as a weapon in his book, Between Two Ages. This is another one of my charts. This is showing how healthcare is controlled. You've got your three different groups. You've got your patients and your public out here. And they're controlled because the resources that people have and your knowledge and the available care are all carefully controlled. And your doctors, they're controlled because their knowledge and training is very carefully controlled. And their resources are controlled. And their licensing and certification are controlled. I go into this in depth in an article, but this just sort of encapsulizes what the article does, and then I'm just sort of encapsulizing what this encapsulates. And then you've got the legal system controlled to enforce all of this, and you've even got some secret illegal groups out there to destroy doctors who don't conform to the medical monopoly. Very powerful. This is Illuminati control, Illuminati mob control of Hollywood. You got your mafia and Illuminati councils. One of your main groups there for control was Music Corporation of America, which controlled the American film industry and had a monopoly. And they got a monopoly because they made a sweetheart deal with the unions. And under Ronald Reagan, he cut a deal with MCA, a secret sweetheart deal with the Screen Actors Guild. And the American Federation of Musicians, too, cut a special deal so that the non-Illuminati competition got cut out. And then I mentioned here, down here as an example, your Rat Pack, which are... You probably, if you followed Hollywood and actors, you've seen who the Rat Pack is: Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Peter Lawford, and Joey Bishop. These are men that are connected with Satanism and the mob and mind control. And talking a little bit about how the Illuminati families tie in genetically with some of these, and just giving a little sampling here of some of the leadership of some of these companies. I mean, this could just go on and on. If you look at the leadership of some of these companies, some of these groups that are controlling Hollywood, you'll see the Illuminati presence there. Like 20th Century Fox Board of Directors was Illuminatus William Randolph Hearst Jr. and with a director, Malcolm McIntyre, who was also an Illuminati. Okay, there's your top bloodlines. This was Joseph Smith Jr. He was Joseph Smith Jr. and all of the leadership of the LDS Church in Salt Lake City and the RLDS Church have all been of one bloodline. In fact, their present leader, Gordon B. Hinckley, I believe, is a Merovingian descendant through Nathaniel Hinckley. And that goes back to the Plantagenet family, who were Merovingians. Joseph Smith Jr., these were his magic amulets that he carried. This was a pouch that he had for his magic parchment. This was a serpent's cane, or a staff that he had, a ritual staff that Joseph Smith had. And this was his ritual anathema that he had, and the ritual inscription on it. Joseph Smith Jr. created a high rite of Freemasonry, and he got some of the Freemasons upset in his area, and they murdered him. This is a seer stone, a magic seer stone that Joseph Smith Jr. had, and another pair of magic parchments that Joseph Smith used that were his, that were passed down generationally. And this is Brigham Young with his Masonic pin there. And these people are the Merovingian dynasty and the tribe of Dan. You'll find out that when the Mormons got started, they created a secret group called the Danites, which were assassins to keep their opponents, kill their opponents. And here's Dagobert's skull, and it's preserved in a convent. And this was St. Clair, who was at one time the leading Merovingian, or the head of the Priory of Sion, which in French is something like Peau de Zeal. I don't speak French, so. There's Charles Taze Russell, who was a Knights Templar. Charles Taze Russell, who started the Watchtower Society of the Jehovah's Witnesses, ritually murdered by the Illuminati on Halloween, has his ashes protected below a pink granite pyramid made from the sacred enchanted rock mountain at a special, or at a sacred site 18 miles north of Fredericksburg, Texas. The pyramid is in a cemetery in what was Allegheny, Pennsylvania, now Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he had the Knights Templar logo on his pyramid that his ashes are buried under. And talk about really wanting nobody to desecrate his remains. They used barbed wire as rebar in the concrete foundation. If you ever pour concrete, you know what rebar is. Well, they used barbed wire for rebar to make sure nobody got through to his ashes. And the problem with Freemasonry isn't just with the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or their founders or some of the other groups, but in a lot of groups are tied back in. As this is a stained glass window showing the upside down pentagram. And this is in West Virginia. This is a Church of Christ, a couple Churches of Christ, with a strange form of a Masonic a logo. This is some of the Astor Illuminati members, and I don't have time to go into the members of these families. I might just briefly comment on one. That's John Jacob Astor the First. Came over from Germany. The Illuminati gave him a concession to operate drug smuggling. There had been fur trading going on in North America for several centuries. Remember, Columbus came in 1492 and people started trading furs with the Indians soon after that. Well, he came to the United States after the Revolutionary War. Within a matter of just a few years, he had a total monopoly over the entire fur trade in North America. How'd he do that? This is a DuPont Illuminati, representing the DuPont Illuminati bloodline. He recently had one of them in the news, but for the sake of time, maybe I'll just make a little comment about them. The DuPonts have been part of the military establishment. They have produced the gunpowder for the United States since before the War of 1812. They have made millions of dollars every war that we have fought, and they are also major producers of chemicals. There isn't any day that you go through life where you don't use materials that aren't made. Every day of your life, you're touching materials that their companies have made. It's that extensive, their contributions to our lives. This is a Freeman Illuminati family, Gaylord Freeman. He was at one time the head of the Priory of Zion, the 13th Illuminati bloodline. He was an advisor to two presidents. And Roger A. Freeman was also advisor to two other Freemans. Also advisor to two other presidents. And then this is a picture of one of the Freemans that's in the Skull and Bones order, which is just one of the many groups that the Illuminati have set up in many of the college campuses as an entry point into the Illuminati. This is the Kennedy Illuminati bloodline. Kennedy, as so many of these occultists, made his pilgrimage to the Great Pyramid. And one of JFK's girlfriends was Jane Mansfield, who was a member of the Church of Satan. Another close friend of John F. Kennedy was Sammy Davis Jr., who ran with the Rat Pack. And he was also a member of the Church of Satan. There he is with Anton LaVey. And the first Kennedy in history was named Brian Boru. He was also had the name Brian Kennedy. And he was the ruler in Ireland. And from his royal seed came a lot of other aristocratic Kennedys throughout history. And I brought this in because I'm wanting to talk about Illuminati mind control, and I think you're seeing different alters here, different personalities here, as she was the first presidential model that they allowed in public. This is a little bit of the Onassis Illuminati bloodline. The Lee Illuminati bloodline, a very ancient aristocratic bloodline in China. Li Ka-shing is a billionaire in Hong Kong, has a television network that covers Asia, has a lot of holdings in Canada. Rockefeller Illuminati bloodline. And Winthrop there was reported to have the largest porn collection in all the world. He was gay and homosexual, and that's one of the big money bags behind Clinton, besides Pamela Harriman. And this is, you can pronounce his name Guy de Rothschild or Guy de Rothschild. You want a more French pronunciation, Gita. I believe that from working with high-level Illuminati people that he is either the father of the Antichrist or the father of the Antichrist John the Baptist. And this is one of his homes, his son David. And yes, he is alive today. These are just some odds and ends of the Illuminati. That's Hitler's grandmother. She was a maid in Vienna for the Rothschilds and was impregnated by them. Hitler's father was paid money to change his name from Schicklgruber to Hitler, which had an effect of hiding Hitler's lineage. Hitler was a Rothschild. And that's Marquis de Lafayette. Remember I talked to you about the Scottish connection. Scotland and France were buddy buddies down through history, and Marquis de Lafayette came from an area in France known as Brittany, which is Celtic, and ties very closely in with the Scottish Jacobins and so forth. Russell Illuminati members. There's our much beloved president doing a hypnotic induction of slaves with the sign of Satan. And this is Bertrand Russell. The Russells were an aristocratic family in England. The Russells have been very prominent in helping set up a lot of religions and other groups. William Huntington Russell and Samuel Russell were involved with drug trades and setting up the Order of the Skull and Bones, which was created, by the way, at Yale. Yale being a Unitarian college that already had Illuminati secret societies at it before Yale came. Well, it's really very hard for people to see that there's a conspiracy because everything's so broken down on our level into tiny pieces. So I thought if I went in reverse, it might help people see how all of these fragments connect into the whole. You've got different Illuminati goals that are set, and then those goals are broken down into further goals, and then they take all of their different groups throughout the world system and have them participate in different ways. So like, let's say the objective is Illuminati authority. Okay, A, know everything about people, Big Brother. So they've got nine beast computers, which are tracking all people. People are tracked from the cradle to the grave. The IRS, the Jesuits, and other people have a complete memberships of all types of churches on their computers. The LDS are compiling on computer the family histories of everyone alive. The Mormon Church has made it the primary duty of all Mormons to do genealogy work. And they have gone to every nation in the world, and even nations like Red China have allowed them to go in and photograph all of their records. And they have brought these records back, and you'll see where they keep them in a minute. And the task of assembling the backgrounds on everybody is so monumental that they're even secretly getting students in the public schools to participate in this work. Then you get your CIA, IRS, FBI, NSA records of all potential opponents to the New World Order. Got social security numbers and social insurance numbers to track all people. You've got banks and crediting keeping track of people. You know, when you make a transaction on your ATM in a few seconds, it's recorded in the beast computer. And then you've got your 911 numbers. And they have detailed information on people in the 911 system. This is a good example to show you how different components work. The Grange, which is a fraternal organization for rural areas, it looks rather innocuous. It doesn't look very harmful, but you look at their logo and it's kind of interesting. It's the Illuminati all-seeing eye. And when the Illuminati wanted to keep track of people, what they did was is they called on a favor, and of course the Grange was set up by Freemasons. That shouldn't surprise you. They're sort of the glue that hold this all together, the Freemasons. And the Grange was this good rural group, fraternal group, that did the legwork to get the 911 system brought in. Well, no one would see a conspiracy taking place with all these different little groups, and that may be the only thing that they used the Grange for quite a few years. What's strange about that? I mean, what's negative about that? In the 911 system, they can record anything, and they do, about you. What you like for breakfast. You know, what kind of clothes you wear. Anything can be put into the 911 system. There is no criteria on relevancy, anything. It's a nice way for Big Brother to accumulate on computer all that they would want. And then you've got them monitoring most mail opening operations and most phone conversations are recorded. I say most there. That's an understatement. All electronic communication in this country is monitored. And that's why the National Security Agency. And that's a big subject in itself, but it came out in the 1960s that they were doing this in the paper, but they stick these little things in the back of the paper in little articles and then choose to ignore the significance of them for the rest of the years and people forget about them. But during the Israeli-Arab War in 1967, to give you an example of the military capabilities of the world system, they had voice prints of every Israeli officer and every Arab officer too. And if you can imagine, when a war's going on, you've got all these people with walkie-talkies and radios and everything, and an American spy ship is off the coast of Israel, and it's picking up all of these thousands of signals, and it's just a spaghetti mix of signals. Their computers can take and unscramble all of these signals, tell where they come from, and because they have every officer's voice print, they can know via the computer who's talking. So they knew during the entire war where every Israeli and Arab unit was, because they knew the officers that went to those units, and if they got a transmission from such and such geographic site, they knew that that officer's unit was there. And you can trust me that they have people like myself, my voice print. This is where the Mormons store the genealogical records of the world. I wonder what else is down in this big thing. It's under a granite mountain that can survive any kind of nuclear holocaust imaginable. What else does the Illuminati have down there? These I'm just going to flash up real quickly. A couple more Illuminati objectives that I've broken down for people. These were in my Be Wise as Serpents book. Illuminati have had plans, and they have several organizations which may, in the end, I may discover are all the same thing. And they printed a lot of these plans. So you've had these books coming out over the years that have revealed to us a lot of what they're going to do. And you go in and you read H.G. Wells' books like The Open Conspiracy and The New World Order, The World Order and The Modern Utopia, and he describes to a T a lot of the things that are happening. In fact, they made a movie of one of his books. He wrote a book, The Shape of Things to Come, and they made a movie of it, and it showed that in the future, the New World Order, and they call it the New World Order, bombed Iraq with fleets of sort of Delta Wing type planes. Well, what did we see during the Gulf War? Exactly what he predicted back in 1938, exactly to a T. And I'll show you in the movie somewhere when we get to it. I threw this in as a sample. You read through these people's stuff and it'll blow you away, because here in Manly P. Hall back in 1972, and then you go back and look at what Jefferson was writing. Thomas Jefferson was one of the Illuminati. And then you look at Clymer's fundamental laws back in 1916, and they're predicting NAFTA. Clymer was saying that the capstone would be placed on the Illuminati pyramid when Mexico, United States, and Canada peacefully merged. And they had to be peacefully merged because there was an occult significance to that. So by debriefing people that have been high up in the Illuminati and been in on planning sessions and heard things of what were going to happen, I knew the Bosnian conflict was going to happen. I knew they were going to blow up a federal building like in Tulsa. I knew a lot of these things. And here's a photograph off of that movie, The Shape of Things to Come, which was H.G. Wells' book. And guess what their logo was? It's the winged sun disk, which is an Egyptian magic symbol, which is used by Charles Taze Russell, who started the Watchtower Society, is used by the Theosophical Society, and is used by Aleister Crowley on his material, who is a Satanist. So Wing Sun Disc, the satanic Egyptian hermetic symbol, will be the, according to H.G. Wells, the symbol of the New World Order. By the way, who was H.G. Wells? Well, he was leader of the Fabian Society, Fabian Socialism, and he is also a Freemason. In fact, one Masonic book says that he's one of their best prophets. And I don't have time to go into this either, but they've had their great minds thinking on how to set up this covered government so that the people feel like they're governing themselves when they'll be ruling from behind. And, you know, they'll set up the House of People and the House of Counselors and the House of Nations, and then they'll have these various groups, the world judiciary, the world executive, the enforcement system, and 20 world a council of five world ombudsmen. And then you'll have administrations and agencies to integrate your world government. And the people will be very happy that they will think that they're ruling themselves. Now we're coming to the most important topic. And everything I've said up to now pales in insignificance to what I have to tell you about now. And that's the Illuminati's mind control. And it was such a vast and important topic that spending an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours doesn't even begin to open up the subject. And so that's why I haven't spent all this time talking on it, is that I realized that it's just too vast. You've heard New Agers talk about a paradigm shift. When you understand the ramifications of the Illuminati's mind control, everything that you knew about human behavior and how you looked at people and rated them is obsolete. Okay? And it's taken me years for the impact of this mind control to be worked through me to where I can really appreciate, because I want to go into denial too sometimes about the ramifications. This is from the New York Times, and what this is talking about is back in September 2nd, 1977, Admiral Stansfield Turner, who was director of the CIA, went before a Senate committee that was investigating things. And he admitted, yes, the CIA has been conducting mind control on countless numbers of innocent victims, and it was being done without their consent. And he even explained some of how it was being done. Yes, hypnosis and drugs and electric shock. And he even talked some about how extensive it was. There was 80 important American institutions that were involved in this. 40 medical colleges, all these universities, yes, they were all cooperating with the CIA in this mind control. But even though he admitted this, one is a little of it came out then in the New York Times here, but about MKUltra. But they still did a good cover job, and the American people really didn't get a full ramification of what's going on. The public still doesn't know. They don't have a clue. And the Christian people don't either. And until people understand how they're doing this mind control, you're wasting your time to create an organization to fight the New World Order, because they'll be infiltrated and Satan will take what you're doing for good and deflect it for evil. One of the programmers, Dr. Lewis Jolly, he's called Jolly West. They're mentioning him here as one of the CIA's known programmers in this. Well, books have been coming out. I started exposing the Illuminati's mind control very with trepidation back in 91, and in 92 I came out with a monograph on it, and then last year I came out with a book, which is a guidebook, an illustrated guidebook, and then this year I came out with a full-blown expose, which is volume 2, and it's the Illuminati formula used to create an undetectable total mind-controlled slave. Why did I have such a long title? Because it is totally undetectable when it is functioning correctly, and it is total. It controls the person's entire mind and their body. It is a group package. The reason that this mind control is so powerful is because they have taken every possible type of mind control and combined it in an extremely sophisticated package. So if you listen to these CIA people, they'll sit there and they'll say, well, yeah, we tried doing this type of mind control, but it only worked in like 60% of the cases. And so we couldn't do it, you know, we couldn't use it. We tried this, and behavior modification only works in a certain percentage, you know. Well, what they're not telling you is if you take this method, which works 60% of the time, and this method, which works 60% of the time, and this method, which works 70% of the time, on down the line, and combine a sophisticated group package, you lock someone in totally. Now, one of the elements of this mind control is, can you is to create programmed multiple personalities. This person here is my co-author, and these are pictures taken within a short period of time. Here you're looking at one of her front altars, and this was an altar that was created to be what we would call like a madame. And this is one of the sexual altars that shows the abuse, a squinting eye. An altar is an altar personality. We'll explain that a little bit later. And then this is a very talented sexual altar. She likes this picture because it's got a mirror image. They use a lot of mirror images in the programming. And she was programmed to see herself as a cat. There's a lot of dehumanization done in the monarch programming. What they do is they work off of the principle that the mind is a supercomputer. You've heard that analogy made before. And just like what they had to do to make computers worthwhile, they had to learn how to section off memory so that it was can't be touched. Like when you reboot your computer, it's being rebooted by memory that you can't touch. Well, the way to do that with the mind is amnesia walls. The Illuminati learned, the mystery religions learned centuries ago, that through trauma, the mind will protect itself from that trauma by building an amnesia wall around it. In war, it's called post-traumatic stress syndrome. And if you have a soldier that, like let's say his buddy is blown to bits right in front of him, he may totally black out that part of if you put a timeline, well then that particular event in time has amnesia walls around it. Okay, so through the most horrendous traumas that they can imagine, because the worse the trauma, the better it works, right? The better the amnesia wall. So through a horrendous series of traumas, they shatter these people's minds up with amnesia walls, and then they know how to go in and find those little pieces of the mind, and then they build upon those pieces, they build whatever they want, because those little pieces of the mind don't know anything except what they're shown. They only hold the body when their hypnotic cue to pull them to the front is given, unless they're a front altar. So they will break a person's mind. A common Illuminati model might have like 10,000 personalities. A horrendous amount of torture. An unbelievable amount of torture their entire lives. And Ronald Reagan, who people think of as a good guy, he had his share of monarch slaves to service him. The type of things that they use monarch slaves for. He felt like, as President of the United States, it was below his dignity to get up and go to the restroom. He used a monarch slave as a urinal in the evenings. That's just giving you a little clue as to the types of uses for these monarch slaves. They're not used for legitimate purposes. They're used for the most ghastly, nefarious things, and they can get the slave to do anything they want. Now, this what's been going on hasn't been kept totally secret, but when people like myself started exposing it, they came back with a really vicious counterattack. It's the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, headquartered out of Philadelphia. I know these people. They're abusers themselves, pedophiles, and programmed people themselves. And they've got 40,000 lawsuits in this country against therapists for false memory. And what they did is they just infiltrated in slaves to each of these therapists that were trying to help people that had been abused by this mind control, and then initiated lawsuits that these therapists had planted false memories into them. So they may even, the way it's going, they may even take down the entire profession of psychiatry with it. Because if you know about psychoanalysis and things like this, if you take away from psychiatrists the ability to touch people's memories, you're going to sink the whole profession. But they're willing to do that to protect their mind control. I've been working with, and more as a friend than anything else, but to some degree working with the programming, with 24 victims of this mind control. I know I've met, I'd say, hundreds of, very many, too many for me to count, the victims of this type of mind control. And it's very sophisticated. I'm not going to go into I am not going to go into how it's done, but I just wanted to inform you of the ramifications of it so that you had an idea. Because when you go into a church, you can't use as a litmus test, is the minister preaching the word of God? Unless you could follow him around 24 hours a day and you understood how hand gestures and stuff can be used for programming and stuff, you wouldn't know the other side. By having these multiple personalities, they're quite capable of creating a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde effect with people. And they like to create the best front they can for their slaves. And they also, another trick that they like to use is they use opposites. So this one guy who is this brilliant computer genius walks around in public, he deaf and dumb. You know, nobody would suspect that at a certain time he clicks into his genius personality and goes helps him with computers, and then the rest of the time the public thinks he's this blooming idiot. So they like, and one of my favorite questions asked me was, what is the most popular occupation for men in the Illuminati? Christian clergymen. That's the best front. Some of our most famous and beloved clergymen are multiples, have multiple personality. They like to create the best front. The best front for assassinations would, of course, be where? You're wanting to cover someone who's been programmed to be an assassin? The Amish, because everybody knows they're world famous as pacifists. In fact, I was Amish for a number of years. I used to be Amish. Drove a horse and buggy. They if they wanted to use an Amishman as an assassin, and he spent a lifetime of being programmed, and then they through their cues and their triggers, they set off a program that's been pre-programmed into the person. These people are just like human computers. And the Amishman will leave his farm and travel with, for some ostensible reason, maybe he's going to visit Freundschaft, that's relatives, in another state. And then while he's traveling, maybe he goes into a restroom. And in that restroom, a series of things click in his mind as he switches through various personalities in a systematic way. And he eventually switches into the correct altar that they want. And that altar goes, carries out his assigned assassination task, then as program switches back into his Amishman personality and goes to his relatives and then goes back home. And all he knows, all his front personalities know, is that he went on a trip to visit his relatives. And when he gets back, and these are called wet ops by them. Wet ops means blood's going to run, or black ops. And they got their own terminology and lingo for all of this. And when he gets back, at some point, there'll be a team that debriefs him. They'll have a programmer, and they'll have a lie detector, somebody running a lie detector, and someone else. And they'll run them through three times to make sure they get the truth of what happened. And when they're satisfied they got the truth, they'll let this Amish boy go back to his Amish farm. So there's a lot going on. And I see it all around, and I know what's going on. And you really, if you're wanting to know, you need to get the Volume 2 book, because there's just so much to tell you that I can't begin to do it. But one of the programming places, Bethesda, Maryland, the hospital there, this comes from it. This is showing brain scans of people that are multiples. And it's showing that somebody who pretends to be different personalities has a different brain than somebody who shifts from different personality to different personality. A multiple personality, a person with multiple personality disorder has a different brain. It's actually physically different after all the traumas and amnesia walls and programming. This is me. This is a place of fine arts, Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco, right next to the Presidio, which is used by the Illuminati for rituals. And I'm showing you one of the programming sites on the West Coast, the Presidio tree that was used for programming, Fort Point used for programming. You'll look at the Sixth Army logo. It's a hexagram with the satanic anarchy A in it. It's no. If you understand some of the leadership in the Sixth Army, Colonel Michael Aquino, who's the head of the Temple of Set, and about a dozen other high-ranking officers who were Satanists in the Sixth Army. It's no wonder that their logo's a satanic hexagram, is it? Ever wondered why the Rockefeller's Texaco has a pentagram in a circle with the Ankh? These are some more pictures of this was a church at the Presidio was used for Illuminati rituals. Alcatraz was used for rituals and programming. That's taken from the Presidio. That's mule barns in the Presidio, which were used for programming. Tavistock Clinic in England, another programming site. A couple of the programmers, Michael Aquino, who happens to be the son of Betty Ford, and his wife Lilith Sinclair. And if you look at where immigration is coming from, the top six countries, look, Soviet Union is second, China third, Vietnam, sixth. These are all countries that are doing mind control programming. How many Spetsnaz agents have been infiltrated into this country? How many mind control people have come in? Oh boy, that's enough to blow my mind. And the surprise today, the surprise ending that I promised you, these are taken from American magazines. and you may have to do a double take. It's real easy to see it on the originals. It may not be quite so easy to see it on the transparencies. Reptilian eyes. Did I get that right? Yeah. All of these pictures out of American magazines, reptilian eyes. So like the lady who told all these stories in Arabia, you know, you'll have to invite me back for me to tell you more. Reptilian eyes. Can you see it? You see what I'm saying? Look up here. Look up here at there. Do you see how the eyes are reptilian? I've actually met some very respectable people who wouldn't tell me stories, like this one psychologist who's seen countless numbers of people in her life, who's actually seen people like this. Okay, thank you. And one last thing, you know, we're leaving, we're going our separate ways and everything, but I just want to let you know, I'm still alive. I haven't gone off the face of the earth. If you want to write me, contact me, call me, you know, I'm there. So I wish you the best.
You want to take any questions, Chris?
Yeah, questions. Now that I've wore you out.
Repeat the question too afterwards.
Okay. She asked, how do they get reptilian eyes? I wasn't going to talk about this subject, but I don't have final answers on some of these things. I can give you tentative answers. One of the big programs that the Illuminati is carrying out is the creation of Nephilim. If we look in the scriptures, it says, as in the days of Noah, it would be like that today. In Noah's time, God wasn't being vengeful in destroying the earth. The earth was being corrupted genetically by fallen angels marrying with probably both animals and people. And in order to preserve life, God brought an end to the world. And today, there's a lot of genetic experiments and the Nephilim being created that are hybrids. And this is a very important part of what the Illuminati is doing. And my guess is this relates to that. You talk about your lineages like your Rothschilds, and they have been intermarrying with what the public calls aliens. And so that these people aren't human as we would know human, they've been pretty thoroughly demonized. If we go back in time, the chief advisor to Queen Elizabeth I, Sir John Dee, he was a Kabbalistic black magician. He had gone to the continent and learned from the top Jewish Kabbalists black magic, and he was the chief advisor in the British Empire, and he created Enochian magic and the Enochian language, which the Illuminati, which are hiding behind the Jehovah's Witness headquarters, they use Enochian rituals. That's what the power of the Enochian magic is, the Watchtowers. That's why they call it the Watchtower Society. But anyway, yeah, they get a laugh when they say Watchtower Society because it's got a double meaning. Got sidetracked here. Sir John Dee conjured up demons or angels, okay, with his black magic. The beings that he conjured up, there were pictures drawn of them, and they look identical to what we call gray aliens. Okay, that tell you something? And then I visit with debriefing people that came out of high levels of the Illuminati, and these different types of aliens are participating in Illuminati rituals. I could go on. The bottom line is I have concluded that there are no good aliens. The aliens are demons, and we've got a mixture going on of demons and flesh and blood, and we've also got other genetic experiments. Yes?
You mentioned organized crime with Federal Express. Is there any kind of tie like that to UPS?
She says, I mentioned organized crime with UPS. With Federal Express. Is there any connection with UPS? I think there was a little misunderstanding there. I was talking about the Federal Reserve is not a private company. And some people see Federal Express trucks and they think that they're government. It's a government mail service. And I was just mentioning that the Rothschilds own Federal Express. It's a private government. But they have the power. See, if an individual like me tried to start a company, Federal Express, using red, white, and blue on my trucks, the government would come in and say, no, that's ours. You're infringing on our territory. People are going to mistake this for something as the government, but the Rothschilds can do it and get away with it. As far as UPS and all of these, all of your big corporations tie in. And I didn't get into talking about the interlinking directorates and how it all ties in, but you're not going to see any big corporation that doesn't tie in with this. In fact, it would be kind of interesting sometime to have the time to explain to you how they have some formulas for taking over these. If you have a successful family business, okay, and let's go back to the Revolutionary War. There were three men that were instrumental, in my opinion, in the creation of this nation. Benjamin Franklin, he was a Satanist and the genius behind the American Revolution. And George Washington, who was just an everyday Mason, but he had a lot of character and was able to hold the Continental Army together over a 13-year war, a lot of suffering in that war that the American Army had to suffer, and he held them together. So he's responsible just because of the strength of character. But Benjamin Franklin had his hand in everything. I mean, the man was the mastermind behind so much. But there was a third man, and none of you, I bet, know him, Robert Morse. How many people here have heard of Robert Morse? One person, yeah. And he did probably as much as the other two. He was a financial genius. And he wheeled and dealed and managed to keep the Americans supplied. And only somebody with an incredible genius like his could have carried it off. But he wasn't part of the mystery religions. He wasn't a Freemason. So after the Revolutionary War, they took him down. He ended up in prison. He ended up in debtor's prison. So if you look at what they did to him, what they do is they'll take family-owned businesses and they'll promise you the moon. They'll say, hey, you got this great business? We'll make it even better. We'll loan you all this money. And they'll get a person in over their head, and then wham, before you know it, they're running it. So they've got some specific tactics that they use when they see anybody like Howard Hughes or Robert Morse, who's a genius, who's going to make it. They step in with their tried and true tactics. That's why I want to get out there and talk to people, because people started noticing that they just keep doing the same things over again, these tried and true tactics, then maybe somebody might sidestep them for once.
Do you fear for your life?
No.
Just wondering.
Oh, I'm supposed to say the question over the mic. I was asked if I fear for my life. No. That's the short answer of it. That doesn't mean that there aren't people that wouldn't like to do me harm. Yes?
Where's the hope?
Did that get lost somewhere back there in the beginning? Oh boy. God can take all of this evil and turn it towards good. The scriptures say that all things work to good to those who love Him. And I get repeatedly traumatized. You know, Satan traumatizes me and tries to hand me lies every day. And but I know that if I keep loving the Lord, that everything's going to work out. And I believe that if you've ever watched a pair of fencers dueling, and if one of them gets a mark on his cheek, it becomes a badge, sort of like of honor. And I believe that the glory when we're in heaven is going to be retroactive, and all of these battles that we fought are going to be seen in glory. The glory is going to be retroactive. And I believe when I'm in heaven, I'm going to say I was always in heaven. Boy, I must have talked the questions out of you. That's just a quick overview, people.
Where do you see Ross Perot fitting into this picture of how he keeps coming in and out of the presidential election?
Just another one of their stooges. That's all. Everybody that's run for president in this century has been one of the... I say everybody. When I mean, I'm qualifying that, not... I mean, there's some individuals out here that are not of major parties that are just, you know, somebody who came out of a mental institution and announces, I'm running for president. But for every legitimate candidate this century has been one of theirs. You go back in my Be Wise as Serpents book, and I'll show you in some of the elections, you'll have five or six men running for president, and they'll all be Freemasons. Hey, tails they win, heads you lose. Bush, skull and bones. Illuminati order. Clinton, Illuminati bloodline goes back to, you know, the people that set up. His bloodline goes back to the same people that set up the skull and bones. He's adopted, though. So he's not, the Clintons aren't his family, which is another thing that they oftentimes do. They love to adopt out and rearrange things. I could go on for hours probably telling you how they hide these lineages, just like they've tried to hide Adolf Hitler's and Abraham Lincoln's. Except it's kind of interesting. One of the Rothschilds is named Abraham Lincoln Rothschild. So, you know, sometimes it comes out anyway. Yeah, Christian?
Do you think we should go vote?
No. The question was, should we go and vote? Well, I'm not going to tell anybody what they do with their time. Your time is your own. I mean, that's God's gift to you, and you use it how you want. But in terms of what I know, the voting is rigged. Back when Bush and Clinton were running against each other, a friend of mine who connects in with all of this, he had a map back 6 months before the primaries that had all of the election statistics, the final election statistics. The map had all of the electoral college votes for the states as they would be determined, and then the popular vote down to a T. These weren't projections. They were the final figures as long before the primaries. And then I knew from my Illuminati sources that they wanted George Bush in as president again when he ran against Clinton. And then I made them, I guess you could say, the mistake of printing that in my newsletter that the Illuminati wanted Bush reelected, and that, of course, what they want, they'll get. But then I noticed in August that they changed their mind. And so then I wrote a little paragraph in my newsletter. They changed their mind, but nobody read my other paragraph. They just remembered the first thing that I'd said. So now there's certain set of people out there that are convinced I'm a false prophet. So I tend to like to back away from talking about the Illuminati's plans because they do change them. But the voting's all rigged. And there's a good book, Vote Scam, by the Collier Brothers. And I guess a lot of you probably read it already, so it's not even news anymore. Okay, question.
About the Oklahoma bombing, that this was all planned. Have you heard of anything else that might be planned?
Oh, anything else?
Yeah.
Well, in relationship to Atlanta, they wanted to test martial law being brought in on the American people in the Atlanta area. And so they were going to create several acts of terrorism so that they could bring in a localized or regionalized martial law in that area to see how the American people would respond. And so that's something that's happening recently. Now again, some of these predictions I have to be kind of careful talking about them to people, because like back in 1992, I said that, you know, when the banking laws were going to change, there were going to be all these banks fold. Well, they did, but they didn't announce them on the radios. And, you know, you just saw banks changing names. And so again, people were telling me, well, Fritz, you're, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know. Well, fine. It's people don't have the eyes to see what's going on. And I don't like to be in the position of saying what's going to happen in the future, because I believe that nothing's cast in stone. There's nothing that definitely says that in the year 2000 we're going to have the Antichrist. Henry Kissinger kind of backed that up. I was watching him one day and he said, we are going to have a new world order. We either have it in this generation or the next generation, but we will have one. But see, he was showing that they're at least beginning to think that, hey, maybe, you know, it isn't going to click. And see, Satan's double-binded. Talk about the hope. Again, okay, this is another aspect of the hope part of it. Satan is trying to imitate God by being omniscient and omnipotent, but he isn't. So he does that through technology, and like to be the all-seeing eye, he has spy satellites in the sky and people on the ground that are spying and computers. So he's trying to use this vast array, this big mechanism in this world system to control everything, so he seems godlike and all-powerful. Well, people like me are throwing sand in that equipment. It doesn't take a whole lot of sand in a piece of equipment to slow it down or bring it to a halt. He is double-binded, and the double bind that Satan's in is this. At some point, God's going to say, you can have it, Satan. Run the world. Now, he's got to get all of his ducks and all of this intricate equipment lined up running smoothly and perfectly, or he's not going to run, the New World Order's not going to run for him. So he's double-binded, and he's not telling his minions, his slaves out there, how things aren't coming into line. And there's some pretty powerful people out there that are doing things on our behalf. I don't know if you heard about the Renegade Computer Group with the Cray Computers. You did, good. Did you hear about... let's see, what was something... Did you hear about the Freeman being freed? The Freeman got what they wanted. The Freeman, that they had this long standoff. They got what they wanted, which was a court that was not part of the American corrupt American judicial system, but was set up a common law venue. And they got that and got free. Got exactly what they wanted. About it, oh, the newspapers aren't going to tell you anything. The answer, I guess, is just there's some of us out there that are watching these things, and we fax and call each other back and forth. But like I say, if I make predictions on things, which I sometimes do, the news media a lot of times doesn't report them anyway. You know, so the news media is not going to back me up on some of those. Yeah. Yeah, they love to use distractions.
Are the church brains part of this too? And removing some of our civil liberties?
Are the church burnings part of this to remove our civil liberties? Definitely yes. There's part of it's just disinformation. I mean, there's a lot of churches being burned all the time, you know, from natural causes or whatever. They've got the ability to focus. Have you ever noticed when they focus in on airline disasters, all of a sudden all the airline disasters that happen are reported? And that part of it's that, and part of it's, I wonder about some of these youth that for no reason at all burn down a church. They may be children that are programmed. It's so easy to do that. But there was intended to be a period of anarchy because they want the people to beg for martial law. And the American people will ask them for what they want to give. And so I saw that aptly demonstrated the night of the bomb went off in Atlanta. I went to Plaid Pantry to get something cold to drink because it was warm out. And this was about midnight. And the gal there had just heard on the radio about the bomb, and she said, "Oh, this world is full of crazy nuts." I said, "Well, you know what's happening? The government's setting off these bombs so they can bring in stricter laws." And she said, "Oh, that's what we need. We need stricter laws." And I said, "You want to live under Nazism?" And it just went right by her. No comprehension. So it had, I saw that was my test to see how the American people were responding. And yeah. Give us martial law.
That subject was on the radio today on the talk show. Was asking if they was wanting a martial law. And about 50-50.
She says about 50% of the people wanted martial law.
They wanted that extra protection.
They wanted the extra protection.
Then another one come on, so we want our freedom.
Yes. Pardon me?
Buchanan.
Yeah, you're saying he's a Knights of Malta. Yeah, you're saying he's not a regular guy, he's one of them. Yeah, the National Council, what is that, NCC? That ultra-conservative Christian group that Buchanan's, the five people underneath him in his campaign are from the NCC, which is a National Christian Coalition. Yeah, it's controlled opposition. If you look at who they are and what they're doing, it's controlled opposition. The Illuminati sets up their own opposition. If you go back and look in World War II, there's a book put out by an intelligence operative who uses a pseudonym. His name's Nigel West. And it's on MI5, which is British intelligence. And he's got a whole chapter in there on double agents. Every German, I should say every Nazi German, you know, because Germany was Nazi, every German agent spying on Great Britain was a double agent for the British. Now what they did was, and a part of it goes back to this mind control, they turned significant figures in German intelligence, and then anybody else who joined in German intelligence had to be turned. If they didn't turn, they were booted out. So over a few years, they ended up with the entire German intelligence organization being their double agents. Well, they've done the same thing against the New World Order. 95% of these people out there exposing the New World Order are double agents. Right. Remember Pat Robertson writing his book, Illuminati? His dad was head of the Senate Committee on Banking. And you better know that these Illuminati bankers, a lot of them are Jewish and a lot of them are Freemasons, you know that touching their money is a real sore spot for them. And so they're going to have their person in that key position in the Senate. And that was the father of Pat Robertson. And Illuminati set him up in ministry. And then he comes out with this book, The New World Order, which he didn't even write, and I don't even think he read it. And if you look in that, in one chapter it says the Masons are part of this plot to bring in a New World Order, and then the next chapter it promotes George Bush's candidacy for president. And he's a 33rd degree Freemason. That's all.